Always a joy to be with you all at Piney Grove Primitive Baptist Church. I've been blessed to come to visit this church for a long time, ever since Brother Thomas Bond, many years ago, was brave enough to invite me. And it's been a joy ever since then. I am looking forward to hearing Elder Ivy preach tonight. I've been praying for him, that the Lord would bless him mightily. We need the gospel of Jesus Christ declared in such a way that it's meaningful to us, that it inspires us and motivates us. We're living at a time when the gospel needs to be declared in such a way that it reaches out and touches the children of God. There's a lot of confusion, a lot of despair, a lot of folks on the wrong path. But I do believe with every fiber that's in me that this word is the true word of God. And there's where we find our hope, and there's where we find our direction and our comfort. So I just want to, just a brief comment, and Brother Clayton mentioned to me that he might want me to do this, and so asked me to have anything on my mind. And, well, you know, a preacher that leaves home without anything on his mind, he's not doing his job. Well, Kenneth Cadle, and years ago, he told me, he said, now, J.C., now that we've ordained you, don't you ever leave home without a sharp sword. But having said that, you know, just south of Dothan, my mind went to a subject, and thank goodness we had some slow traffic and a couple of traffic lights, and I was able to look it up and entertain it a little bit. So ask your prayers for just a few moments that we, as we go to the Word of God. We'll find it in John chapter 6 and verse number 35. John chapter 6 and verse number 35. Jesus Christ used a phrase to identify himself. It was a phrase that that the old students of the Bible, students of the Old Testament, would understand. And just because they understood it doesn't necessarily mean they liked it. There's things they understood, but they didn't like it. And there's some reasons why they didn't. But in John chapter 6, verse number 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Now that's sweet poetry. Doesn't that sound good? I am the bread of life. Doesn't those words just comfort you? But what in the world does it mean? Well, he goes on, and throughout this chapter, he explains. You know, Moses gave you that bread from heaven. Actually, God the Father gave it to him, but they had that bread and they died. But the purpose of that bread was to sustain their life. But, you know, there was times when they weren't even satisfied with what God gave them. And, you know, they wanted more. And they didn't want to follow God's commandments. And that got them into trouble. And they began to murmur and complain one time about this bread. This nothing but old white bread. You know, they were sort of tired of that. And so they got in trouble for that. I believe that's where we are right now in our country. People just don't want to take time to evaluate the Word of God and be satisfied with it. People are always wanting something else, something new. But Jesus Christ tells us, I am everything you need. I've got it all. In me is everything you need. So when he said, I am, that was a phrase that they would have understood. That had been with them ever since God spoke to Moses and told Moses, when you get down there, Moses said, well, they're not going to know me. They're not going to know you. They're not going to know why I'm there. He says, well, when you get there, you tell them that I am sent you, meaning the self-existing God. There's none like him. There's none to be compared to him. There's none greater than him. There's none that can overcome him. He is the final say in everything. Everything came by him. There's nothing that is that didn't come by God. I am God. So when Jesus Christ used that phrase, he also added to it, I am the bread of life. Well, they knew about the manna that God sent in Moses' day. They knew that. And they knew that the purpose of that bread was to sustain life, to keep them going. So he says, You know, you're going today, you're still here today because of me. The reason that you have life is because I'm here. Then he says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Now, we all get hungry, don't we? We already had supper tonight. We do get hungry. But what he's saying is, if I am in you, you are feeding on me, and your feeding on me will be everything that you need in this life. You don't need to add anything to it. I am everything you need. When you call to me, I will be there. When your heart is broken, I will comfort you. When you're confused, I'll show you the way. When you're grieving because of your sin, I will relieve you and remind you that I have delivered you from the penalty of your sin. I am everything that you need. So one of the things that we children of God, by grace, need to just pause and remember that Jesus Christ is everything that we need. He is our life. So he says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye have also have seen me and believe not. Okay? They saw him and they didn't believe him. You know, in another place he tells them, that I don't know you. I don't have an affection for you. You're just not mine. Okay? But there were those who wanted the glory and the majesty and the power and the control over the people. So they were participating. But he goes on to say, he says, but I say unto you that ye also have seen me, you have seen me in the flesh, and believe not, all that the Father giveth me, notice this language, shall come to me. Now, and he goes on and says, nobody can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. He says that later on in this chapter. So what he is telling us is, if you're my child, you know who I am. If you're my child, you're being fed and nourished by me. That doesn't mean you know all about him. I believe there's people that know Jesus Christ, but just don't know much about him. That's the purpose of the gospel, to teach the children of God about God. But there are those today, I just don't think that they want to know much about Jesus because they want to do that which seems right in their own eyes. That's where we are in our country. That's the reason so many have walked away from these primitive doctrines, because they want to do that which seemeth right in their own eyes. Okay? Now, I've already seen that there's multiple doors that I'm not going to open tonight, because it would be an all-night exercise. So I'm going to say this to you. Where we are in our country is a people, the majority of the people, even Christian people. Let me tell you about a statistic that probably most of you have heard from a recent poll. One out of two people in our country declare that they're not very religious. Half of them. Okay. And so further checking comes to find out what they're not satisfied with is modern religion. They don't like modern religion because, for the most part, it's a facade. It's not real. So what does our soul want? What does it hunger for? It hungers for Jesus Christ. And so the children of God are crying out to the preachers, preach Jesus Christ. Just preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell me about my Jesus. And I tell you what, Jesus will satisfy you and comfort you and guide you no matter what your trouble is, no matter what your grief is. The bread of life will satisfy you no matter what's going on, even when you get down to the very point of death. Some of you remember Elder J.T. Bush, preacher living in Panama City. And as he was getting feeble, I would go by and see him and visit with him, spend time with him. and he couldn't get out and go anymore. So he always wanted to know where I had been and who I'd heard preach and what they'd preached about. He rejoiced to hear that. One Tuesday, I came by to see him. He was getting very feeble. I had my hand on the rail of his bed. He put his feeble hand on top of mine. He says, "JC, just talk to me about my Jesus." I had a perception then of what was going on. So then we opened the scripture and began to talk about Jesus. He just closed his eyes and he went off to sleep. The next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, when preaching started at the church, he breathed his last breath. Jesus Christ sustained him in his hour of death. Jesus Christ is our nourishment, our comfort, no matter what is going on in our life. You can't preach a better subject than Jesus Christ and him crucified, with the promise that he's coming again to take us to be forever with him. I'm going to stop right there because there's two doors that's right there. Can you see those doors? If I open those doors, Brother Mike won't have any time, so I'm going to close. God bless you.